Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Sanebox. If you want to get control of your ever-bulging email inbox, Sanebox is your answer. Go to sanebox.com, that's sanebox.com/martini, sanebox.com/martini for a no-obligation two-week trial, plus $25 in credit. That's sanebox.com/martini. And we've actually got a really good, I don't know if we can call it a martini today, but here is actually the great news.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
And you could think of that in two ways. Jim Garrity of National Review is back. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, it could be that the convention season is over. Our real national political nightmares we'll discuss shortly is a long way from being over. But also, we are back together on the Three Martini Lunch after vacations and conventions. It's good to get back in the groove. Welcome home.
It's good to be back, Greg. It's very kind of you to say that. I feel glad to be back. Way to slam my guest hosts.
It's not.
How were those guys? Oh, they were a national nightmare. Listeners were groaning. No, I was hearing nice things about them. So
no, they did a great job.
Ian, it's great to know they're terrible to work with. Yes, no, I'm glad to be back, Greg.
No, they're fabulous. Just getting back to the normal routine. Thank you very much, seriously, to Ian Tuttle and David French and Mark Wright and Rich McFadden for filling in for each of us over the past month or so. So on we go. This is the good martini or crazy martini number one, Jim, but Hillary Clinton agreed to an interview with Chris Wallace at the Fox News Channel, and let's just say she and the facts are not good friends. Chris Wallace talking to her about a couple of things that she lied about. Let's start with the big one, and that is Chris Wallace challenging her on what the verdict was from FBI Director Jim Comey on her email situation.
After a long investigation, FBI Director James Comey said none of those things that you told the American public were true.
Chris, that's not what I heard Director Comey say, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to, in my view, clarify. Director Comey said that my answers were truthful and what I've said is consistent with what I have told the American people. That there were decisions discussed and made to classify retroactively certain of the emails. I was communicating with over 300 people in my emailing. They certainly did not believe and had no reason to believe that what they were sending was classified.
We got a lot of audio here. Chris Wallace was pointing out Hillary's comments that first she said there was no classified email sent or received, then there was nothing that was classified at the time that it was sent or received, and then nothing marked classified at the time it was sent or received. And Chris Wallace fought back on that by using some clips from Trey Gowdy, who grilled Director Comey shortly after he announced there would be no charges against Hillary.
Director Comey directly contradicted what you had told the public.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true.
Secretary Clinton said I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
And here is the fun part.
He not only directly contradicted what you said, he also said in that hearing that you were extremely careless and negligent.
Well, Chris, I looked at the whole transcript of everything that was said, and what I believe is, number one, I made a mistake not using two different email addresses. I have said that, and I repeat it again today. It is certainly not anything that I ever would do again. I take classification seriously. I relied on and had every reason to rely on the judgments of the professionals with whom I worked. And so in retrospect, maybe some people are saying, well, those among those 300 people, they made the wrong call.
I think you're the one saying that, Madam Secretary. So, Jim, we've gone from Director Comey said I was totally truthful, which is obviously not the case, to, well, clearly, if anybody did anything wrong, it's my subordinates, and I wasn't smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, to clarify, her argument is she did nothing wrong, Comey backed her up, and she would never, ever do it again. Greg, we know a couple of years ago when she was supposed to testify at the Benghazi hearing, she tripped and fainted and fell and had a concussion and all that stuff. Are like hallucinations a side effect of concussions years later? Maybe we need some of that NFL concussion protocol into effect, because she's hearing things Comey didn't say. At no point did he say, give her the thumbs up and say, no, hunky-dory. Why is this our good martini? Look, if you're the Trump campaign, and this isn't even an easy layup or a slow-hanging softball. This is T-ball. Right? All you have to do is take Hillary Clinton's statements from Fox News Sunday and Comey's statements and put them next to each other and say, look, even today, she continues to lie. She cannot admit the fact that, yes, there was classified information on that. She has to say that, oh, somehow in the totality, if you look at all of Comey's remarks, I wasn't severely disorganized and reckless and careless with this. Look, there's no easy good answer for her to give. So she chooses the path for dishonesty. It's not particularly surprising about this. But this is, this is a good way to pound away at Hillary's weak spot. And hopefully the Trump campaign and Republicans will take advantage of this, because if they don't, it's just malpractice.
No, that's exactly the case. And of course, the Trump campaign doing its best not to take advantage of this, unfortunately, as we shift to the bad martini, and just shows once again the mistake Republicans appear to have made. And Donald Trump going on this week with George Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos asked him about the Muslim parents who got a lot of attention on the final day of the Democratic National Convention for asking Donald Trump what he has sacrificed, for suggesting that their son, who gave his life for our country in Iraq as a U.S. Marine, would not have been allowed into the country if Trump had his way. A lot of people found that to be a powerful presentation, and Trump was asked about it by Stephanopoulos. He seemed to wait a while to get around to his answer about needing to thwart radical Islamic terror, because he spent most of his first response attacking the fallen Marine's mother.
He said you wouldn't have even let his son in America.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me, but plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that.
And then Trump on Twitter says, Mr. Khan, who does not know me, viciously attacked me from the stage of the DNC and is now all over TV doing the same. Nice. Then, apparently minutes later, this story is not about Mr. Khan, who was all over the place doing interviews, but rather radical Islamic terrorism and the U.S. Get Smart. And then Trump went on to say that he has sacrificed because he's created jobs. So, Jim, this is a fight he can't possibly win, yet Donald Trump simply can't avoid responding and lashing out when he gets criticized.
I was chatting with someone this morning. They asked, where is Mike Pence in this? Where is Manafort? Where is Ivanka Trump? Why aren't they stopping him from doing this? And I think short of tackling him mid-interview, there's no way to stop Trump from doing this. This is just his instincts and who he is. And they're terrible instincts. And this is not the kind of person you should be. On a human level or on a simply cynical, political, how do you want to win votes level? When you get attacked by the grieving parents of a soldier, you say, thank you for your son's service. I hope you find peace. I'll pray for you. And then you move on. There's just no easy way you're going to win that exchange. And yet, for some reason, Trump goes everywhere. And he suggests that the mother's not allowed to speak. She has an op-ed in the Washington Post. There's no way he can win this argument. He's just going to come across like a jerk. And there's not really a great argument to the you've sacrificed nothing argument coming from parents who have given the most precious thing they possibly have in their life. There's no way to win this. And Trump charges ahead anyway. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is hurting him in the polls. He's going down a road that no sensible Republican will ever defend him. This is why many of us spend a lot of time saying don't nominate Trump, because he doesn't have the good judgment to avoid fights like this. And we will see how it goes. But this is how you get an unfavorable rating of 70-some%. By picking fights you should not win and you can't win, when there's much more fruitful and useful areas to discuss in other, in relation to the campaign.
There is potentially a good chaser here on this horrific martini for Donald Trump and for the Republicans and for America. And that's that there was this other moment in the speech by Mr. Khan at the convention where he offered his copy of the Constitution to Donald Trump. And whatever you think of that moment, we've got this report from the Associated Press. A pocket version of the U.S. Constitution has become a bestseller on Amazon.com. The 52-page pamphlet, printed by the National Center for Constitutional Studies, sells for $1 and was in the top 10 best-selling books on Amazon on Saturday afternoon. The site produces an hourly list of its bestsellers. And so, Jim, you and I have lamented many times here about constitutional and civic illiteracy. if this bizarre dust-up continues, perhaps more people will actually buy it, and read it, and understand what our founders actually intended. So there could be a benefit far afield from what Mr. Trump was hoping to accomplish here.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know, this ends with millions of Americans reading the Constitution, besides the fact that will pay off many dividends in our future political debates, Greg, God bless you, Kazir Khan. God bless you, the Khan family. You've already suffered enough, and maybe some good will come out of this. Can they track the sales? Did any of them get shipped to Trump Tower by any chance? Yeah, it might be good. You know, actually, you know, take a look at that, Mr. Trump. We'll see if that works out. As you said, this also an important point. This can't be the next book that everybody buys but nobody reads. You know, Thomas Piketty's The Wealth of Nations. this, you know, which, oh, by the way, on, you know, when you buy an ebook, they actually can keep track of how far you get into it. And apparently that one was the all-time champion that people had read like 3% and then they put it down. Never, kind of a heavy textbook, you know, economics textbook. It was very trendy for a little while. But anyway, hopefully people are actually reading the Constitution, and hopefully some good comes out of what is otherwise a very dispiriting chapter in a ugly political year.
Before we get to the crazy martini, let me ask you a question. How many emails do you have in your inbox right now? 100? 1,000? 20,000? I don't think I'm quite to 20,000. I'm a little better than that, but it's not good. But I'm getting better because you've got too many emails to read, but you don't want to delete all of them because you might miss something. So what do you do? It's called SaneBox. And we really can't recommend it enough. Jim and I have recently become subscribers to it, and SaneBox sorts through your email and moves all the trivial stuff into a different folder, so the only messages in your inbox are the ones you actually want and need to see. Aside from moving all of the junk so you can focus on messages that matter, there's a great feature, which I've already used several times, called the black hole. You know, you have to click on and say, please unsubscribe and all that stuff? No. Just move an email into your black hole folder and you'll never hear from that sender again. It's very rewarding because we could all use more organization in our email life. And we worked out a great deal for our listeners. Visit SaneBox.com/martini today, and they'll throw in an extra $25 in credit on top of the 2-week free trial. You don't have to enter your credit card information unless you decide to buy. So there's really nothing to lose. Check it out today. Let us know if you love the black hole and reaching inbox zero as much as we are. We're getting there anyway. Again, that's SaneBox, SaneBox.com/martini. Jim, this has only been a few days for us, and this really is changing our email activity.
I am traditionally one of the slowest adopters of new tech and gadgets and programs and things like that. And when SaneBox said we want to sponsor the Three Martini Lunch, I was like, oh, please let this be a good product. I don't want this to be, you know, Uncle Henry's toenail fungus cream or something like that. So I start using it. And, you know, first of all, you asked about how many emails in my Sane archive, where they take all the stuff that I don't use. And this is, you know, as a reporter, I'm getting a lot of press releases and subscriptions and all kinds of stuff. I'm at 202,376. Oh, so wow. I think I have the champion there. Now, maybe you don't get as many unsolicited or unwanted or why are they sending me this emails as I do. But if I'm finding it exceptionally easy. The nice thing, you don't really need – it's not very complicated. It's very intuitive. And it just helps sort things. It just kind of helps you take email that you may thought – I thought, okay, it's Gmail. It's fine. I don't like change. I don't like having to learn new things. This did not take a long time to get used to one bit, and it's taking all of the stuff that I really don't want to read out of the picture. And other lots of little features that I like we're letting us know when I need a follow-up email. You sent some email and somebody didn't reply to it, kind of gives you that little ping, things like that. So it really looks like a neat product. I'm glad to have them on as sponsors. And just letting everyone know, if you sign up now, but you don't go to SaneBox.com/martini, Greg and I don't get credit for it. And so it's really important to us. It's not just, oh, this sounds like an interesting product. I'm going to go to SaneBox.com/martini. So that people think this is a wonderful podcast and people should sponsor it and advertise on it. So thank you for doing that, listeners, if you choose to do so. I am finding this to be a great product and very easy to use and very useful if you feel like you're getting, you know, just a deluge of email every day. It adds sanity to your life, which seems like a good segue to our crazy martini, Greg.
Oh, yeah. If you thought the last two martinis were crazy with Hillary perpetuating her lies and Donald Trump deciding to keep attacking the family of a fallen Marine, well, it doesn't get any better in the third martini. Richard Armitage, Hank Paulson, Brent Scowcroft, three big-name figures from previous Bush administrations, have announced in the past 2 weeks that they are supporting Hillary Clinton in 2016, all because Donald Trump is simply a bridge too far for them. Hank Paulson wrote in the Washington Post last week, quote, "When it comes to the presidency, I will not vote for Donald Trump. I will not cast a write-in vote. I'll be voting for Hillary Clinton with the hope that she can bring Americans together to do the things necessary to strengthen our economy, our environment, and our place in the world. To my Republican friends, I know I'm not alone. Richard Armitage, good riddance. Former Deputy Secretary of State and advisor to Presidents Reagan and both Bushes. Trump, quote, doesn't appear to be a Republican. That should seem familiar to you, sir. He doesn't appear to want to learn about issues, so I'm going to vote for Mrs. Clinton. If you don't remember Richard Armitage, he's the one that really gave Valerie Plame's name to Bob Novak and then let Karl Rove and especially Scooter Libby twist in the wind until it was all over and then said, oh, yeah, yeah, that was me. Brent Scowcroft is a Bush guy. There's this guy who says he's a former Reagan and George H.W. Bush aide, Jim Ciccone. Haven't heard of him. Aide could mean anything. But he says not just that he's reluctantly voting for Hillary. He says Hillary Clinton is experienced, qualified, and will make a fine president. The alternative, I fear, would set our nation on a very dark path. Obviously, people are stuck. Many people are stuck with a horrific decision to make or no decision at all to make later this year, Jim. But to suggest that what we've seen from Hillary Clinton throughout her long career suggests that she's going to be a good president. The world, as we mentioned last week, is literally on fire as a result of her time as Secretary of State. Virtually everything she touches is a disaster, unless it's the money coming into her own bank account.
I'm glad you mentioned the leaking of the Plame identity, because that was one of the always kind of struck me as one of the more egregious examples of how Washington works. That in a way, this was Armitage was always known as Colin Powell's longtime aide, friend, associate, and he was the one who leaked the name to Bob Novak. He admitted it. It came out in court, and it's like the entire world just decided to ignore this, right? That he was, oh, he's one of our guys. We're going to continue to portray Scooter Libby and the Bush administration as really bad, including this really awful movie starring Sean Penn, in which the Bush administration is this shadowy conspiracy, and there's car chases involved in Valerie Plame and all kinds of stuff like that. It was egregiously bad, but Armitage just walks away as smelling like a rose. Nobody ever is upset about that. Brent Scowcroft, I went back and checked. You know, Greg, in 2009, Brent Scowcroft was saying that he believed relations with Russia and China would get a lot better. I guess he was a fan of the reset button. Now, he was a respected national security advisor for George H.W. Bush. I don't detest the man, but I do kind of feel like this is not the first time he's been a little naive about the prospects of Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, the third member of the Troika is Mr. Tarp, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. So some of the worst ideas to come out of the Republican Party are all lining up behind Hillary Clinton, saying, oh, she'll unite the party. I guess you could say that's kind of like Voltron, taking all of the bad ideas from both parties and uniting them together into one horrific force. I shouldn't use Voltron as my metaphor. I should use Devastator from the Decepticons. I like to be very precise in my pop culture references. So there you go. Congratulations, Hillary. Great, great bunch of guys there.
Jim, you mentioned a really bad movie starring Sean Penn. That could confuse some people because since the 80s, that's pretty much every Sean Penn movie.
Doesn't really narrow it down, does it? Yeah. Well, yeah, it's even worse because no one saw this movie.
That's right.
I thought about seeing it in theaters, Greg, but I was sick that day.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have to keep dealing with the nonstop political insanity, but just remember, you can get your email inbox back to normal with SaneBox for your free, no-obligation, two-week trial, plus $25 in credit thanks to our sponsorship. Go to SaneBox.com/martini. Join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.